Have you got another question then?
I do have another question. Voila, Martin. Voila. Here's my question.
Okay. Hey,
do you like what I did there?
Sort of.
See what I did?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Well, no, you did. So I enjoyed last time so much quizzing Martin and him not knowing the answer. I thought I'd drop you another quiz question before we kick off this episode. And this again is from the OGAE quiz, UK quiz that they do, the official UK fan group. And the question is this, Martin. Answer it at the end, so don't answer mm-hmm. straight away. Which country won the first ever Eurovision?
A good question. One, of course, that I don't know the answer to, but I am certainly willing to give it a guess, which I shall do a little bit later. Lots to happen over the next little while in this podcast. Welcome to another edition of Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Nullpois, the Eurovision fan podcast. I am Laura. That is Martin. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we're big fans here in the UK and we're just trying to learn and get more into it as we go along. And there's still lots to discuss because we're sort of deep into national finals now, aren't we, Martin? So there's lots to kind of speculate about, and also quite a few more people getting decided.
Yes, absolutely. So we've got all of that to come. We've got to tell you some Dardy related news as well. I feel like every episode that we do has some sort of Dardy news in it. It's not intentional.
Just because we're big fans of Dardy, to be honest. That's the main reason.
We're now quite invested, aren't we? So yeah, more Dardy details in a moment. Another edition of Trivia Time is coming up, and you have been getting in contact with us and we want to hear from you, and we have heard from you, so to some of your messages a little bit later as well. But first, let's talk about La France.
Oui, let's talk about La France.
It's like you're a native.
Yes. France has decided we probably should have mentioned, I'm sure we did at some point, Tom Leb is not returning.
No.
Il n'est pas retourné because is that right?
Il ne retourne pas. Something like that. Close enough.
Yeah, it's right. So he's not returning, which is a shame because I loved his face, but I don't think the song wasn't great, so it's not a loss. Sonically, but
just visually
it's sad. But they have chosen their entry, and it is Barbara Pravi with a ballad called Voila. There were 12 acts that sang in Eurovision France, c'est vous qui décidez. And Barbara was the one that they décédait. And we have a little clip of this now. This is Voila. This is the song that will be representing France. Voila, 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 voila qui je suis. Me voilà même si mise à nu c'est fini. C'est ma gueule, c'est mon cri. Me voilà, tant pis. Voilà, 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 voilà juste ici.
I don't hold out a huge amount of hope for this one doing well. Bit of a dirge, isn't it?
Oh, well, I think that's a bit hard. It's better than Tom Leb's offering, don't you think? It's better than that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I am being a bit hard. No, it's nicely sung. It is. It's just, it's clearly not going to do that well. It just isn't.
I agree, it is nicely sung, yeah. But it's perhaps... But then look at, for example, Portugal, their winner. That was a ballad, and that did very well.
True.
That was, and again, it was sung in its own language. It was. I don't know. I think it really depends where it's placed. First of all, I think that would play a big part in it. You know, if it's early on, I don't know if it's going to do that well. But like I said, Salvador's song did very well for Portugal, but that did have a bit more to it. I don't know if this is quite comparable, but I think it's better than Tom Leb's. It also depends on the staging, because we didn't get to see much in terms of what they want. Whether they are they just going to have it, you know, like that video where it's pretty, that was quite pared down. And, you know, it depends sometimes what they want to do with it. But yeah, better than the previous offering. Yeah, I agree. Maybe average. I wouldn't say it's bad. It's not bad.
I'd say it's borderline bad. Only because I'm comparing it to what I know other countries are capable of delivering. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess it's not going to be in the top 10, probably, is it?
No.
Unless they really pull something out of the bag.
The sac, as it were.
Yes.
Tire yeah. de la sac.
Barbara. So there you go. That's our very UK opinion on that song. Let's see what they do with it. Not a terrible song, but maybe not the best either.
Okay, some Dardy news now, which I know is the moment you've been waiting for. We here on this podcast, if you're just listening to us for the first time, we're big fans of Dardy. We were big fans ever since, you know, he was set to represent Iceland for the 2020 contest, which of course never happened, with Think About Things, which was a huge song anyway, despite it not being in the Eurovision. It went round the world mainly because social media took hold of it and people did dances and it just became this really big thing. And we've kind of been fans ever since, and we found ourselves more and more engrossed in the world of Dardy.
Yeah.
We had tickets to go and see him, and the sad news, so we'll do some sad news and we'll do some good news. The sad news is that if you were planning to go and see him on tour, the chances are that that won't be happening. Certainly the UK leg of the European tour that he was planning to do in the spring has now been postponed, which is really, really sad. Yeah. Completely understandable, but a real shame.
Which I could say I kind of got an exclusive for there, because being part of the Dardy Freer International fan group, I knew that Dardy had mentioned that they would be cancelling this European tour. He had mentioned that, and that meant that the gigs, I think in March, were definitely cancelled. But we had obviously got dates for in April, the 30th of April, we were supposed to see Dardy at Kentish Town in London. So I put a little post on the fan group, not expecting Dardy to reply, but just expecting someone to maybe have a bit more clue, just saying, does anyone know if these April dates are cancelled as well? And lovely Dardy, bless him, replied personally, just saying, you know, we're working on moving it, looking at November. So there's something for anyone in the UK looking to go and see Dardy. It looks like it might be November. I'm waiting for a confirmation, but we'll unfortunately not be able to play any gigs in April, so that's definitely off the cards, I think, as we were maybe expecting anyway. And as everyone replied, you know, that's completely understandable, but it's nice to hear they're already looking at other dates, so it sounds like November could be the time.
Well, we have our fingers crossed and we hope that's the case. So that's the bad news, which is that if you do want to go and see Dardy live, you probably won't be able to, certainly if you live in the UK. But there is good news. You might remember a few podcasts ago, Cress and I took part in the virtual choir that Dardy's trying to create for his Eurovision song. And we got told, along with everybody else who submitted themselves singing in this, that we're in the song. We're in the completed song, which we're really excited about. It means we're going to be in a Eurovision song. And I don't think there are many people that can say that.
No.
So the news is that we now have a date for when that song is going to be released. And it is the 13th of March.
Yes, so not too long to wait. Very excited to hear it. As you said, it'll be interesting. We've only heard a snippet of it from the bit we sang so well. And also, yes, we definitely did. Another thing to get excited about, Dardy-wise, is that there's going to be not one, but two documentaries about the history of Dardy. And I can never say his lovely backing band, Gangnamagnia. Yeah. That's not how you
Dardy's
say it.
Dardy's band.
Dardy's band. Also known. Sorry. Yeah, unfortunately, sorry about that. But yeah, the two documentaries about the group's history, because I didn't realise, obviously, I mean, it makes sense, really, especially with Iceland being a relatively small country, that Dardy has obviously tried in Songvakeppnin before. That 2019 for the 2020 competition was not the first time he entered Eurovision. They did enter in 2017 with the song Is This Love, which is, it's also very interesting to watch in 2017, he already has the green jumper with the faces on. So that was not a new thing. Yeah, I didn't realise that wasn't a new thing they came up with for Eurovision 2020. They had it way back in 2017. That's just obviously a staple of the Dardi experience. So it's cool that that's just survived this long and now people are realising about it. But yeah, so that's going to be very interesting. Two separate documentaries, one on February the 27th, one on March the 6th. And it's just going to be a bit of a history, basically, about the group and how they came to such fame. So, and great to see that, you know, it wasn't a one-hit thing. He's obviously been really trying hard to make it into Eurovision, and great, he's going to get his chance to shine, finally.
I know, finally. We've waited long enough, but it is finally going to happen. So that, I suppose, is a little bit of news from the Iceland camp and what we're hoping to hear from Iceland. We'll find out more, of course, on the 13th of March. There is news from elsewhere in Europe as to who's going to be representing who and what songs we might be hearing, and I'll just run through some of this. We won't go into it in great detail, but Natalie Gordienko returning to represent Moldova again. We now know the song that Eden Alen will be performing on behalf of Israel. Eden Alen for Israel, tipped to do quite well last year. So
yes, it was a good song, Fekir Libby.
So this time it's called Set Me Free, so we shall find out more about that.
Not the entrance classic.
But, No. some other returnees, Vasil, back for North Macedonia. And
Old Vaseline.
Old Vaseline. And we've also, we talked about this on the last podcast, but we now know a little bit more about Lithuania and Norway.
We do, yes, indeed. And I believe that there was that a little hint for me to say something. Yes, okay, hello. yes, well.
That meant, when I say we know, yeah. I mean you know
yes,
more.
Yes, I know more. I see, okay. I see what you've done. You've done the royal we. Yeah, basically Norway. Even more confuses me. And we'll get to a bit of correspondence later on where someone did try and help us out a bit with this. But Norway had another semi-final, so that's three semi-finals, which you wouldn't think would be possible logically, really, because normally you have two semi-finals, you don't have more than two, but it had a third one of Melody Grand Prix 2021, and I can announce that Emmy has won that, E-M-M-Y, so she is the winner, so she'll go through to the final. So the ever confusing Norway Melody Grand Prix continues. We've had the results now of three of the semi-finals, and there's still going to be a wild card, obviously, where someone will compete in that, and then they'll also be the final. So there's still lots going on with the Norway.
but we don't really know we're confused. We have the information. We can't quite make sense of it. But we'll let you know as and when that happens. If I could, Chris, I just wanted to mention one other thing because I was thinking about it today. And I know we've mentioned it a few times. I thought it was maybe worth revisiting on the podcast today. We've talked quite a lot about what Eurovision 2021 is going to look like. The Eurovision people, the EBU, have presented these four possible ideas for how a contest could work. We hope to know more this month, in fact, in February, as to what they're going to choose. Four possibilities, with option number one being completely normal and the kind of worst option being people just playing videos, really, of themselves playing in their home countries, and it's all sort of done virtually, nobody actually gathering at all in Rotterdam. It's just the sort of the hosts are standing in an empty studio introducing recordings, and that's it. And it goes on various stages in between those two options. I was having a walk in the park today with sister, who's and we were walking the dogs, and she's a big big Eurovision fan as well, and in between picking up poo and trying to stop them attacking innocent members of the public, we were talking about the Eurovision Song Contest and how it might look. And she said, because she's not in the loop like we are, she said, oh, it'll be cancelled. Surely it'll be cancelled. Yeah. And I then explained, well, I think
you'll find
that actually it won't be.
There are four options.
But I did think, and she agreed with me, we are now so much closer to it being the worst case scenario.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we do. We sort of decided that last time, didn't we?
Yeah, but it feels even more real now.
Yes. I mean, I think clearly I'm the realist in this, and Martin is still.
I'm catching up. I'm living in denial. Yeah.
Because I've thought about this for quite some time. I've said this. I'm still. One thing that's been going through my mind recently, I will say, is when is the UK going to come out of its little hidey hole and say what's going on with its entry? Because we've got nothing. Really?
No, it's been complete and utter radio silence.
Yes,
but
it has.
Keeping you guessing, that's the plan. Yes, I just thought I'd mention that because sure. I just think, because we started off our conversations about the possible options very much being the, it's going to be, I was saying, oh, it's definitely going to be completely normal. And you were saying, maybe it'll be like option two, like almost normal, but socially distanced audience. And now, as we get closer to it, both of us have just moved our expectations further and further away from normality. So it's going to be really interesting to see what eventually does happen. And we, like I said, we do hope to know a little bit later on this month. Of course, you will hear about it here on Null Poir. In the meantime, though, Cress, what's it time for?
Well, Martin, obviously it's time for Trivia Time!
Yeah, it's the bit of the podcast where we bring you some nonsense news from Eurovision's gone by in an attempt to learn a little bit more about the contest and its history, and this usually makes us laugh.
It does indeed. I've got more of an interesting one this time, rather than an outright silly one, but mm-hmm. one that'll hopefully interest you, because obviously Eurovision and gay culture kind of goes hand in hand, really. That, you know, there's a lot between them. There's been, you know, years and years of you know, similarities and parties and things crossing over.
Well, I think it's fair to say that Eurovision has been really kind of adopted and taken yes. under the wing by the LGBT community.
It certainly has. But you might be surprised to know, and I'm sorry, this is another question, but it does then go into a bit of trivia time. Can you think of when the Eurovision Song Contest had its actual full-blown same-sex kiss? What year might that have been?
Oh, that's got to be Tattoo for Russia in, I don't know, I'm going to guess 2003.
Well, you said that so nonchalantly, but you are correct in the sense, yes, Tattoo, they did hold hands.
Ah, did
back
they
in
not
2003,
kiss?
But they did not kiss.
Was it 2003?
You
what
were right with 2003.
That legend.
I'm quite impressed with that, Martin,
thank you.
Actually. You did very of the, say maybe.
No,
I really
didn't know.
Perhaps.
It was a sort of ballpark guess, so I'm very
pleased
with myself.
No, you did very well. You did do well. Although you were wrong, though. They did not have a full on kiss. I think they were teasing that they might, and people
yeah,
thought
I remember
they
there
might.
Was a lot
there was
about
a lot
that,
of stuff going
there?
On
yeah,
about,
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, two women might kiss. Oh no. But they didn't, they held hands. But the first full blown same sex kiss, and it was again two women. It was 10 years later, 2013, with Finland with the song Marry Me. Which I don't know if you remember, there was a lot of ding-dongs in the song. I actually quite liked the song. I remember watching it and thinking, oh, this is quite a fun song. But it did end in a full-blown same-sex kiss with Finland's Krista Siegfrieds locking lips with one of her female backing singers. And it was a move that was designed to encourage Finland to legalise same-sex marriage. And unfortunately, some countries did react negatively to it, Turkey and Greece. I think Turkey decided at the last minute not to show the contest entirely, though it didn't say the lesbian kiss was the reason, but who knows? Maybe that was part of the reason, perhaps. But there you go, 2013. You would have thought it might have been, I don't know, a bit earlier than that, but there you go. It was 2013 before that happened. Unfortunately, it didn't really help old Siegfrieds. They still only picked up 13 votes.
Oh, okay. Well, better luck next time. That was very good. Thank you for that particular edition of
Trivia Time.
What I think is really interesting, actually, is the fact that you go from a situation when in 2003 the Russian entry was the one, okay, not actually having the gay kiss, but certainly suggesting sort of positivity towards the LGBT community in having two
Well, they were openly gay.
And to a situation where we are now, where you could argue hostility towards homosexuality large parts of Russian culture and certainly in their reaction to certain events to do with Eurovision recently, that has seemed to be the case. I just think, what, wow, like how far we've come away from 2003 in such a short space of time.
Well, indeed. And I think it's, you need to even argue it. It is there, you know, that is, they are hostile, unfortunately, towards what's going on there. And it's interesting. I know, remember when we were, I can't remember what year it was now, where Russia was actually booed on stage. I can't remember what year that was.
Yeah,
was it 2015?
I think that was, well,
there was a lot of stuff going on there. I know it wasn't just because of that, but that was part of it, because I remember recently there had been a lot of abuse.
Well, it was a law, wasn't it, that they introduced in Russia, which stops what was described as, in inverted commas, gay propaganda.
Exactly,
so, the idea that you could sort of suggest, if you sort of showed homosexuality in a positive way, you
that was
could
some
be breaking
kind of
the law.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I remember, that did obviously, quite rightfully, didn't go down very well in the Eurovision community when we went to see them, and the Russia act was booed quite a lot. But yes, it is strange, isn't it, that that's changed so much in 10 years.
Interesting, interesting. This is becoming quite a serious podcast at the moment, isn't it?
That's our apologies.
Yeah, sorry. We'll try and return to the nonsense right about now,
sometimes,
actually.
We do chat a little bit
sometimes,
and have some serious thoughts. It's rare.
It is. It is rare we have thoughts, but sometimes we do have them. Okay, you asked me a question at the beginning of this podcast, and I've been trying to think of what the answer was. Do you want to just remind me of the question?
Do you want me to first tell you the question?
Yes, please.
That's how these things work, isn't it? Which country won the first ever Eurovision?
Okay, I have an answer for you. I'm pretty sure it'll be wrong, but here it comes. Now, I'm pretty sure that there weren't very many countries taking part
in the
first Eurovision Song Contest. I'm thinking sort of the original Big Five might have been in there. I'm going to say...
Well, no, not all of them were. The UK wasn't, by the way.
Oh, was it not? Interesting.
No. So I shouldn't have given that away, but...
No,
yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say the UK weren't. My answer was going to be, and still is... Luxembourg.
Ah, okay. Well, you're wrong.
Right.
But Luxembourg did take part.
Okay.
So you are right. Should I tell you, first of all, who took part? Do you want to guess from that?
Well, I was going to say Luxembourg, France, the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Italy.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say West Germany.
Yes, well, I suppose it would be. It just says Germany here, but I'm guessing perhaps. I mean, it was in 1956, so it's just going to be Germany. So,
yes, it's just going to be Germany, isn't it?
Okay. It's not going to be West Germany back then, but yeah.
Any more?
There were two more.
Okay, maybe Spain? Maybe Spain? Is
No.
Belgium. Belgium would have been
Belgium,
in there, surely.
And the one that actually won, which you haven't named yet. Any thoughts? I know it's quite an unusual one, I will say. It's not part of the Big Five.
Portugal?
Nope.
Is it a Scandinavian country?
Nope.
Oh dear.
It's one that we all forget and we don't really think about because it's
San Marino.
No. What is it?
Andorra. Is it Andorra?
No. Come on, now you're going too niche. Okay, shall I tell you?
Go on.
Switzerland.
Oh, Switzerland.
It's a country we... No offense, Switzerland, Swiss people who are listening, but you know.
What?
It's a neutral country. It's a country people don't particularly
forgettable.
Remember.
It's a forgettable country, is
Sorry.
What we're saying. Switzerland.
Well, you did forget it.
I did forget it. I forgot it existed.
We have proved it's right. But there you go. Yeah. Just so you know, so that's the Netherlands, Switzerland, Belgium, Germany, France, Luxembourg, and Italy were the first people. Because it was staged in Switzerland. It was staged in Lugano. And that's not why they won, by the way. I'm not suggesting that they won because they staged it there, but that's where it was staged as well. But the UK didn't take part. The BBC declined to enter, preferring to concentrate on its own Festival of British popular songs.
Ah, that's more like it.
I see.
Oh,
but then they took
good.
Part next year. Then they realised no one gave a shit about their British popular songs, and then they took part.
Yes, they'd much rather hear Puppet on the String. Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Right, we're almost done here. But first, we've had a bit of correspondence. And hopefully it'll help us out a little.
Yes, thank you very much to Nitro Gnome on Twitter. What a great name. Mm. It's lovely that we've got, you know, we've got humans, we've got gnomes. Everyone likes to listen to us. But Nitro Gnome very kindly shared with us a beginner's guide to watching Norway's national final. You know, Nitro, we appreciate the effort, but it's still very confusing. If you look at that, it's how to win in 4 to 6 easy steps.
4 to 6. Even the number of steps is in contention.
Yeah, exactly. But love that. So thank you so much, Nitro Gnome, for sending us that. And if you want to help us out or have got something that you think we should check out or mention on the podcast, you can go to our Twitter. It's @poinsnul, POINTSNUL. Share it there. Or we're also on Instagram. I need to update that a little bit, but we are on Instagram at Nullpoir Podcast on Insta. And obviously, if you want to send us some pictures or anything else, a bit longer stuff, we do have email. We're nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And please, as I implore you every episode, please do give us a review if you enjoyed the podcast. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. You don't even need to say anything. You can just leave the stars. And if you enjoy any of this nonsense, you can, of course, subscribe. We're on all the different outlets and platforms, so hit subscribe.
Do it. You couldn't have said it better, Cress. Thank you very much. And we will see you again on another edition, a future edition of Nullpoir. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.